podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to another one of those bonus podcasts where we've been out and interviewed loads of people and stick them all together for you. Thursday was the launch of the Betfred Super League season, held at the former home of Granada Television in Manchester. Now, thankfully, Richard Maley was not there. He used to do the Rugby League, of course. But a load of Rugby League personalities were, including, first up, London Broncos coach Mike Eccles. Mike, congratulations on being one of the 12 elite coaches in the Northern Hemisphere. Are you ready for London Broncos to enter Super League in 2024?
Yeah, absolutely. We're ready, you know. It's been a heck of a ride since we got promoted. Lots of deep thought, deep conversations after the grading and our tact and approach to that. The owner took his time in terms of disclosing his thoughts on it. But listen, my job is to prepare the team. We've had a really good pre-season. We've had a really unfortunate couple of weeks with injuries. But listen, every team will get that, and we've just got to, you know, push through it and hopefully get some bodies back in the coming weeks. But in essence, mate, we're ready, we're excited. We train tonight, our last session, got a couple of days off, got a week, give the boys a weekend off, and Saints away next week. Welcome to Super League.
12 months ago, where did you imagine yourself being at this point as an individual?
As an individual?
Yeah.
I don't want to detach myself from the team, but we sat down in October last year and said we're going to get promoted. And we put a presentation together, the strategy and the tact around that. And then we represented that before the playoffs against Sheffield about this is what we're here now. Let's go. We're exactly where we wanted to be, in striking distance, and we achieved it. So on that train of thought, I expect us to be in Super League.
The club last time in Super League were competitive, only being relegated on the final day of the season. Obviously this time it's slightly different. How do you approach that as a coach? I guess all you can do is go out there and put out a team you hope wins matches.
Yeah, there is that, but there's also just dealing with the psychology of the team and everything that everyone around them is telling them, the press, social media, the IMG ratings and stuff like that. You've got to manage that. It's important that we just got the elephant out of the room and spoke openly with the players about it, and said these are the challenges. Like, there's no point hiding away from it, but there's nothing we can do about it other than control our performance on the field and make sure we're competitive and that we add value and we enjoy the season. So that's certainly our approach.
You mentioned in the presentation in front of Brian Carney and everyone that Rugby League needs a strong London. How does Rugby League support a strong London?
That's a deep question. Rugby League doesn't need London, it needs a strong London. Absolutely. And I've said this recently, and I think this is a really important point that we make here, is that, so I've been from Lee myself, from a Heartlands club, you know, and having the perception that I had of London through the years, and well, they don't produce any homegrown players, and they got fans for a period of time, then it dropped off and things like that. And when you look at London, they've achieved everything that is required to be achieved by a non-Heartlands team. We've had relative success in terms of the beating Canberra in the World Cup Challenge, in making the Challenge Cup final, finishing second in Super League. We've proved that we can bring in world-class players and world stars. We're now at 70% homegrown in terms of London-produced players. We've had great crowds in the past. We've done all those things. We've just never done it at once, all together. And I just hope that we can do that because it's there. Last time I was in Super League, we had a team worthy of Super League. We had the infrastructure worthy of Super League, probably not the stadium. This time it's been, we've had to fast track back to full time. So we're back full time. But hopefully we've got the team that can do Super League justice. And I've every faith in them that they can achieve what the 2019 team did. But we've also got the stadium this time. So if we can add the fans in that as well, we're not far away. Now, in terms of what we can do, that's a lot to take on your own as a non-Heartlands team in London. As you know, we're a small fish in a huge pond. And I don't know the answers, but I would like to think that the game can work together for a strong London. We've done some really good things. We got promoted on merit with a squad predominantly homegrown. We've got an owner that's still pumping in a lot of money. A fantastic ground. There's a bit of buzz around us now. We're an unknown quantity, unknown people like myself and and the players, and I think it's exciting. And I don't know the answers to that question, but
fair enough, hopefully.
I mean, I've got some ideas around it, but I'm not going to announce them publicly. And I just hope that no matter what happens next year, that we can have a strong London developing over this next 3 or 4 years.
Finally, you've got a home at Wimbledon now. Obviously, this is a great opportunity. Everyone's talking about all the games being streamed and whatever, but it's a great opportunity for people in that area to come and see Super League, Rugby League, and for away fans to come and visit a new stadium.
It's a great stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. The pitch is first class. The stadium facilities are fantastic. That's what's exciting. Wimbledon will have the best players in this country. They'll have elite level rugby league to come and watch. So we've got a highly competitive team made up of Londoners that are going to fight tooth and nail. We've got a fantastic stadium. We've got some of the best players in the world coming visiting. So it's a great opportunity for people to get down. Likewise for away fans. I know we'll get a lot of away fans to come and see the new stadium. Being in Wimbledon as well, I think people would like to come in, particularly if you come in the summer, might be able to tie in with the tennis. It's a great opportunity to get down and see rugby league for people coming from the north down to south, and a great opportunity for us to grow.
Now, welcome change, well, certainly on this programme, I know people disagree, is that the player of the match at the grand final will win the Rob Burrow Award for the first time this year, as the award has been renamed in honour of a man who won it a couple of times and scored a fairly famous try. To get some insight into why the honour has been changed, we spoke to Trevor Hunt of the Rugby League Writers and Broadcasters Association. You know him from Radio Manchester and other stuff as well.
Well, Harry Sunderland was an administrator. Unfortunately for him, and I suppose his family and everybody else, he died in 1964. So 64-65 season, they decided to name the man of the match for the championship final after Harry Sunderland. He'd been a journalist, and that's why the Rugby League Writers brought it in. He'd also set up Rugby League in Queensland, and he'd had a lot to do with England. So he was a leading administrator, and he was a person to the fore. He got the trophy name, but then they changed the championship to a premiership, and then once the premiership went, they started the grand final and thought, well, where should we continue? Well, Harry Sunderland. 60 years on, really. New era, new dawn, IMG coming in, and felt that it was time, maybe, to bring in a modern player. After all, it's a Player of the Match award, but it's named after administrator. Harry was a man of his time. Rob Burrow is a man of his time. And he typifies everything that there is in rugby league in courage, predominantly courage, of course, tenacity, skill, drive, everything you would want in a rugby league player. He showed it on the pitch. He showed it in life afterwards with his illness and MND and the drive for that. And it just seemed the right time to put a new award out there for the player of the match. We feel it's one that's really well supported by the players and the coaches. Numerous of them at the Super League launch have been across and said it's fantastic news, it's what it's needed. I know there'll be detractors, there always are, the traditionalists amongst us. But look, Rugby League has always been capable of change, and in this instance, that's what we're doing. It'll be the Rob Burrow Trophy for the Man of the Match in the Grand Final. And don't forget, he was the first player to win it twice in 2007, 2011, when scoring arguably the greatest try there's ever been in a Grand Final. So it's the right time, and Rob Burrow's the right man.
And so say all of us. Right, now, in a bit of a cheat, this isn't from Thursday, but from the other week when I went to Castleford's Media Day. Why bother speaking to the same person twice when you're only going to ask them the same questions, really? So here's Castleford coach Craig Lingard, ahead of the brand new season, where he's taking charge of the Tigers for the first time.
Craig, brand new season. How's pre-season going? It's a boring question. How's pre-season going?
Yeah, really good, mate, yeah. I guess you get the standard answer from him. Nobody's going to tell you that we've had a bad pre-season, and it's looking negative. But no, really, really positive. A lot of new players have come in. Age profiles come down. We've had longer days, tougher days. But it's been good to see how the group have developed and how they've built the bonds and the connections. And speaking to Paul McShane not so long back, and he was saying that at the start of the season he'd lost a lot of his mates that he'd been with for a number of years. So it was pretty daunting for him to come back and you see all these new faces. He's had to build new connections as well. So I think that's, it's sort of freshened the place up a little bit.
Players have mentioned it's been tougher than it has been perhaps in the past. Is that a Craig Lingard thing to have a tough pre-season?
No, and it's not something that I want to go and say we're not going to beat you every single day that you come. I just felt that after last season, and we were just too easy to beat last year, so we needed to build a little bit of resilience. So the age profile, it's allowed us to do that. It's allowed us to do longer days and do double, triple sessions during the day. Just to see what they've got, really. It's, you know, pre-season, it's always tough, and every club that you'll speak to will say it's one of the most tough pre-seasons that I've had. You get that everywhere you go, but I think we needed that this year, particularly with new players coming in. We've got to see what we've got, you know, the sort of attitude that we've got, how far can we push them, how do we deal with adversity, because you're going to get that in a game. You have to defend repeat sets back-to-back on your own goal line, and I think last season we were too easy to beat, and we crumbled a little bit too easy, so we've got to try and build that adversity, that resilience to adversity.
Having time at the club last year, how important was that, taking over this role coming to this year?
There's pros and cons to it, because you can, I guess, in the back of your mind, what went wrong last year, which again can be a positive and a negative as well, because you've maybe got some preconceived ideas about why things happened, rather than coming in with a fresh pair of eyes. But I think it's helped, certainly developing the connections with the players that were here last year and getting their trust and getting their buy-in. I think that's been really key for me, having the buy-in of the senior players, with me stepping up from assistant to head coach, and then the new players coming in as well. Obviously they're coming in with fresh eyes, but rugby league's a small community and a lot of people talk about it in rugby league, and they'll have heard a lot of stories about what were right at the club last year, what were wrong at the club last year. So again, it's helping their perceptions, that change their perceptions that the club's new this year. We're trying to change from top to bottom, off the field, on the field, and it's a project. It's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight.
Obviously you've found plenty of coaching experience, but going into one of the 12 elite jobs in the Northern Hemisphere, do you change? Have you felt yourself change as a person, as a coach?
No, I don't think you can change. I don't think you can try and pretend to be something that you're not. I'm not a good enough actor to keep it up 12 months a year, so if you try and be something that you're not, you eventually revert back to what you are anyway. So I try to be as genuine as I possibly can be, and what you see is me. I guess it's do you need to be any different if you're in full-time rugby than if you're in part-time rugby? I don't know. It's about working in the environment that you are, and working out what's best for that environment. So I think it's rugby league, isn't it?
Bridlington.
Yes.
Did you enjoy going into the sea with the rest of your squad?
I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. It was very, very cold. But I think it was something that I think I needed to do. If you're asking the players to go in and do it, then crack on and do it yourself. So I think so. It's that collective. We're in this together. We're starting the season together. We're doing all the way through together. So that's all getting.
A squad with players from all over the place. How important was the chat about culture earlier this week?
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it? I mean, I'm massive on the heritage of the game and the history of the game anyway. But when you've got players that are coming into your group from the other side of the world, it can be daunting for them. They've travelled all the way from the other side of the world. Some have got the family over here as well, relocated, and it's a brand new life for them. So I think it's important that they feel welcomed, and we welcome them into our family as well, and find a little bit about them and their history and what they've gone through to get to where they are. And you learn something new about each other. You come training, you see what you see at training. People have got lives away from training. You don't necessarily always see what's going on the surface. So I think it always helps to see a more human side of the people you're playing with.
New season, new rules, new interpretations of rules. How have you been working with those in preparation?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the interpretation of the rules rather than the rules themselves. We've got a generation of players that have never had to play the ball correctly, because we've allowed it to go to a certain point now where people just stand up and roll it through the legs. So I think it's a real good thing that we revert back to the correctness of the play of the ball, or the genuine attempt to play the ball. It got to a point where it was ridiculous and it was messy and it was unattractive to watch, unappealing to watch. So you put people in fatigue situations, and that will take you down to the floor, let's get marked up, little square, play the ball correctly, so we've repped it constantly. Under fatigue situations, and we've been done once in the two friendlies for not playing the ball correctly, and that will buy George Griffin, who missed a lot of the early part of pre-season through injury, so he'd not done the amount of reps that the players had done. So hopefully the stuff that we've done, we've changed some old habits of players just getting up and rolling through legs or stepping over it, and one infringement in the two games for that initial rule interpretation is pretty good for us.
So you know, at the age where you can say things were better in my day when we used to play the ball.
Yeah, I'm always conscious not to bring that sort of statement in. In my day we did that. I think the fans have got a little bit of a role to play in that as well, and understanding that there's going to be teething problems or issues around it. And I've been to a couple of friends already where I've not been coaching, and yeah, fans are difficult to please out. If they don't play the ball correctly, they complain that they don't play the ball correctly. If the referee pulls up, they complain that it's all about you. You know, we've not come to watch you, we've come to watch a game. So the fans have got to understand that as well. There's going to be games that might get a little bit messy and a bit stop start, but that responsibility is on the players. And the players know the rules. The players know what they've got to do. They know what they can and what they can't do. So if the referee's penalising, there's a reason for that, because the players have done something wrong. So I think us as players and coaches, they've got a responsibility for that as well. But the fans have got to have that responsibility. It's not going to be a free flowing game at the start of the season.
Players have said today they want Castle to be more consistent, more competitive this year. Is that the message you're trying to get across?
Yeah, definitely. And again, I feel like I repeat myself. I say it all the time to the players. It's, we want to be difficult to beat. I think if you're difficult to beat and you're more resilient to defend your own goal line, you'll turn some close losses into close wins. And if we can do that, then that, you hopefully get that little bit of momentum and snowball effect where you're picking games up that you maybe normally lose. Again, last year we were too easy to beat or too easy to go out of that arm wrestle, that set for set contest. I think teams knew last year that if they went 15-20 minutes in a set for set contest, we'd break first. We can't be that team that breaks first this year. You know, we've got to make sure we're more resilient and we can go for longer. And that's one of the reasons why we extended the days and made train a little bit tougher, to put them in them difficult situations, to get used to being in difficult situations.
Craig Lingard there, coach of the number one team in the WF postcode area. For now, at least. Have you ever scored a hat-trick in a grand final? No, you haven't. I haven't either. Here's a man who has. It's Wigan Warriors wheelchair superstar Jack Heggie.
The grand final was a long time ago now. Yes. We spoke after it. Yeah. You were smiling then, you're smiling now. How has the off-season treated you?
Yeah, I think, like, obviously after the grand final, we did get round to actually celebrating it. But once we'd celebrated it, we drew the line in the sand sort of thing and said, look, we don't want to live in the past. Obviously, it's fine margins in the wheelchair game. Like, I think every title last year was won by a different club, whether that be Leeds with the league leaders, us with the grand final, Catalan Challenge Cup, etc. So with us, yeah, it's all about next season. How can we improve? For us personally, it's more like, how can we be more consistent with what we do throughout the season? You know, obviously in the semi-final and the final was probably our best performances, which is great. But obviously we want to be challenging on all fronts. We want to be challenging in the cup, we want to be challenging in the league as well for that. So
how has pre-season been going? Are you putting the work in for that consistency to build?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, I think this is probably, from our aspect as a group of players, probably the first time where we've been really strong in our pre-season preparations. Like, we've been backed by Wigan as a club. They've provided us with a lot of more resources that we can utilise from the club itself, and it's like little things now. We're doing a lot more fitness work, we're doing a lot more video analysis work, we're sort of seeing how we can do strength and conditioning, etc., and how we can bring in nutritional stuff. So as a club now, I think we've as with the wheelchair game in general, you know, we're looking for that improvement, and that's how we're getting it now.
How important is that integration? Because obviously Wigan have won two grand finals last year, sticking the reserve grand final as well, but they've got the women's team there as well, all the junior teams that are successful. So how is important that you all feel like you are part of one club?
Well, it's massive. Like, you know, it's all one big culture, and I think you see that, like, obviously with speaking with the men's team before, with Bevan and with Matty Pete, like, we all sort of know each other. We all, you know, when we bump into each other, we're happy to have that conversation. But I think as a club culture, it's all good. We all want to be that highest performing team, and that spreads across all the teams. We want Wigan, you know, to fight for every single title on all fronts, whether that is the wheelchair, whether that the women's team or the men's team or the academy.
Catalan Dragons, European champion. Obviously, yes. The men have got the game against Penrith. You've got the Catalans. As equally a tougher game for you?
100%, like we've known and in different guises, you know, before as a group of players we were with Wigan, we've fought with Catalan and we've had some good experiences on tour in France with them. So yeah, we know what they're going to bring with like Nico and Seb and Arnaud and all these guys and Gilles. So we're prepared for them. We know what they're going to bring. Obviously, how we go about on the match day is a different thing. You know, one thing knowing, one thing stopping it. But yeah, it's, you know, it's a privilege to be in that game, obviously after back of our grand final win. And they'll be looking at us as well in the same way. So there's a huge respect between the teams. We want to win. And we'll make no secret of that, and we'll obviously see how it turns out on the match day.
We saw it in the internationals, and we've seen before, well, years and years and years now of history, England versus France, whether it's club or country, it's going to be a battle.
Oh, 100%, yeah, and like I said before, like, you know, we're our friends when it comes to off the pitch. We have a lot of respect, and the respect remains during the game, but the challenges and obviously the competitiveness does obviously boil over a little bit at times. But look, there's a huge respect between the teams, it goes both ways, and it'll be a great game to watch.
We've seen Leeds, the women's team train with the wheelchair, so when are you going to get the men and women Warriors down and play you?
Oh, they've been down intermittently every now and then. I think again, as we sort of, you know, bring that culture in and bring that unity across the club, there'll be definitely opportunities to do both. We obviously have that our event where we bring all the club all together at Robin Park, and we sort of have the wheelchair team, the women's team, the academy. So that's great for us as well, but I think that will just expand as we go along.
That European Championship final between Wigan and the Catalan Dragons should be an absolute belter. Keep your eyes out for details when that match will be played. Right, where should we go now? Let's go to Salford. Paul Rowley's their coach. And I asked him about the usual things you ask a Salford coach at this time of year.
Paul, every time I speak to a Salford coach at these kind of things, we're talking about everyone expects you to finish down near the bottom end of the table. Where do you think Salford are going into this season?
You know what, you don't look 150 years old, but yeah. Well, bookies say 11th, probably budget says 11th, so we'll look at try and pick off 10th. Then 9th and then 8th, and we'll see where we go.
How do you feel the squad's looking ahead after your trial games this season?
Squad's slim, it's obviously been disrupted, that's the reality of the situation. But what I'll say is pre-season's been fantastic because we've got an absolutely great group of lads, great group of staff, some new additions that are brilliant players and brilliant characters. So it's been the lowest of lows and the highest of highs for pre-season, but there's been more highs for me because every day has been spent with a group of players who've got a collective goal, super talented, super motivated, and so that, you know, that gives me encouragement and excitement.
How important is it when you've got a slim squad, as you say, that they are players who want to be at Salford and want to play for Salford?
Yeah, they want to play for each other first and foremost, for themselves. I think, you know, we're in professional sport, players play ultimately for themselves and their own brand, and then as a collective, because we've fostered an environment where people care about each other, and then we want to, you know, the badge connects us all, and we want to, you know, we want to stand shoulder to shoulder with our supporters and have that underdog spirit. We'll need it, we'll need them, you know, and it's challenging, it's going to be tough, but you know, great, all the best stories, all the best films have some adversity and you know, an underdog, so who knows.
As you say, everyone likes an underdog, everyone likes the style of play of Salford. Is that important, that you get these elements right, that, to get people back in on the terraces?
Yeah, I mean, we've played good rugby now for a couple of years, so I think the fans we've got, they'll be there again, you know, there's no sales pitch to them, they're they don't have a choice now, that's the way of life for them. So I think what we're seeing now in rugby league is that rugby league coming onto a new platform with all the streaming, the TV, and so the athletes themselves get, you know, they get the exposure that they deserve. The sport gets that exposure. It's an exciting time to be a rugby league fan and a purist of rugby league. I speak that you know, there's a lot to smile about with our sport at the minute.
It's a big opportunity. Is it? Seem that, you know, you have a duty to play that expansive, exciting brand of rugby that will get people not just on the terraces but watching on TV as well.
Well, for us, it's we want to win first and foremost. We find that's an effective route for us. you know, we don't have a pathway, so we can't just produce machines one after the other and then bash our way through. And, you know, if two get injured, put another two replicas in. So we've got to find something with a little bit more imagination, something that's a little bit outside the box. And, you know, as a byproduct of that, and to be fair, that's the way I've always coached, because I'm here for a good time, not a long time. We want to enjoy what we do. It's challenging, it's tough, you have to be brave, but it's pleasing on the eye when it works. And and we'll keep working hard to make sure it works more than it fails.
We just named the Man of the Match trophy at the Grand Final after Rob Burrow. What did you make of him as a player, playing with him, or played against him?
Yeah, I had a privilege of playing against Rob, and I think Trevor Hunt, you know, did sport absolutely wonderful in there, and I couldn't, that were a 10 out of 10 speech, I could get nowhere near that, because I just thought he summed him up brilliantly. He was brave, courageous and wonderful as a player, but he's replicated and more than that after playing in his fight, in his illness there, and the way he's, you know, has been selfless in making sure awareness and support and fundraising is going on to leave legacies and help other people. So you know, we get the pleasure of enjoying watching him play when he did, and you know, and people, many people are going to benefit from the work he's done after playing. So he's a hero in every sense of the word. He's inspirational, and I think it's absolutely fitting that you know, a special player in the biggest game is named after probably, I can't name a more special representative, ambassador and person to represent our sport than Rob. So I think it's great.
Welcome to the St Helens section of the programme. We're going to hear from Jack Wellsby in a few moments' time. We caught up with him ahead of the new season, but we also spoke to Jodie Cunningham. You've heard of her. She's been on the telly and stuff. Well, she's got a new job with Sky to add to her jobs at St Helens and being the England captain and all that stuff. So I asked her about that because, you know, it's a bit of a topic at the moment, being, you know, people on the telly who aren't white men.
I'm going to start with something different. I'm guessing you've been asked about the new season and everything like that.
Yeah.
Sky, you're on the telly. Well, you've been on the telly before, so you know what it's like.
Yeah.
What do you do on a typical day when you're turning up on TV to talk about some random rugby players playing rugby?
Other than, like, doubt myself a million times over that I can't really do it. Because, honestly, it's hard because I've actually dreaded that announcement coming out a little bit, because look, everyone's seeing a lot of particular footballers' comments and a little bit of the backlash and hate that's then driven through that, and I was well expecting some of the comments that would come, and it's hard because look, I love the game, I've played the game, I've took every opportunity I could that's been available in the women's space. No, I couldn't go up against some of these blokes and take 20 hits off them and carry on going, which some people think that's the marker as to whether you are then allowed to talk about it. I couldn't do that now, but actually the opportunity to get women involved in the sport in different ways is, I do think, is really important. I come at it from a different angle. Yes, I've not been through the academy of scholarships that the lads have, but I've had a different path and therefore different views on certain things, which might relate to certain people at home. And actually, you do want young girls at home not to just go, I can go and play the sport. Actually, I can go and be part of media. I can go and be part of broadcast. And my point is valid and my place in this sport is valid. So, yeah, I think it was a really apprehensive time for me, because we all have self-doubt and we all worry about certain things, but also really excited and really honoured to be asked to do it. I think Courtney's outstanding. I love listening to Courtney as a player. She was really intelligent. I think Courtney will be absolutely brilliant, and hopefully I can add some value to that Sky team.
Not the fear when you open your mouth that you're going to say something stupid. So I've had that for 20 odd years. It never goes.
Yeah, I think it's the fear that you're going to say something stupid, the fear that, oh, all these people know what they're talking about, and you doubt yourself because they're so brilliant, and you know, they've been doing it for years, and they're experts in it, and you know, it is very new. So when you talk about, you know, what is it like on the day, you know, it is really nerve-wracking, and it's trying to see where I fit. And if you have an idea, are you confident enough to put it forward? Often really daunted by the experience, but really enjoy it. And the team have always been brilliant in terms of bringing me in and making me feel comfortable and part of the team. So when I got asked, like, I doubted it for a second, but that was more my own doubts about myself. But I'm sure it'll be an opportunity for me that it'll be really good going forward, and hopefully I can add my own little bit of a spin to the Sky team.
it's really sad that you have to say that you're dreading the announcement coming out, because it is, in essence, it's a positive news story for you, but you're dreading reaction from, I mean, I'll call them morons and idiots because that's what they are, but it's sad that that is still a thing you have to wonder.
Yeah, I know, and it's hard because the people who are around you will tell you that's silly, don't be daft, ignore those comments, but it's easier said than done. Do you know what I mean? You can have 9 nice comments and 1 not very nice comment, and that 1 not nice one will stick with you. So yeah, look, it was one of those things, a little bit of apprehension around it. I'm sure I'll have still nerves and excitement around any of the games that I do cover, but it's a brilliant opportunity, and look, really grateful to be asked, because I'm just a really keen fan who absolutely loves this sport, and then has had the luck and opportunity as I've been playing, where things have fell right and I've managed to play with my Super League. I've, you know, been trusted to be captain of teams, and I'm just so grateful, and I'm still learning and I'm still grasping every opportunity, but I love this sport, and hopefully one thing I can bring is passion for it, because yeah, I genuinely do believe it's the best sport in the world, and there's so many parts of it that are untapped still. But I actually feel a bit of excitement and momentum about the sport at the minute. It feels like we are starting to make a few strides.
Is it feeling weird? Is it feeling weird to me that everything
that people
seem,
are positive?
Yeah, I know, it's strange, isn't it?
It is strange. I think one thing you can always rely on with rugby league is that we manage to find negatives in most things. But I think there's been a consecutive flow over the last few weeks and months of positive news stories, positive steps for the sport, you know, all the coverage that they're going to get across the various different broadcast channels. The fact that everyone can access every game, I think, is a massive positive. And all the various announcements, you know, you've got the, even the branding, I just think it looks clean, it looks smooth.
Purple
for the women. I think we've got the best colour. Maybe I'm a little bit biased. But all of it, I just think, looks positive. The reaction has been fairly unanimously positive, and it feels like we've got some momentum going into the season. And actually having the wheelchair, the men's and the women's now, under that one brand, being looked after together, means that you have always got a consecutive flow of new things coming out as well. So the men's will start, and then you'll have the women's, and then you'll have the wheelchair, and you'll have all the news, excitement, ups and downs of those seasons that sort of slot in between. So it means that we're never going to be bored.
So the pressure's on you now, not on the telly, but on the pitch, to make it a good competition as well.
Oh, 100%. Look, my job fully is to make sure that I'm the best I can be for Saints. You know, I give my all to that team, and that's, you know, one focus of mine that will never waver. You know, I like to think that I can always be relied upon to give my all for the team, and I want to do that again this year. And Saints, we've got such an exciting squad. We've got some young players that might be lesser known or less experienced, but I think are going to really shine in the Women's Super League this year. So it's an exciting time, and everyone's talking about York, which is great for us. You know, they've probably got the pressure on them as maybe being favourites this year, but you know, we know that we can push York and hopefully go and win a trophy. And Leeds, you definitely can't write off. They're always up there no matter what. It doesn't matter what obstacles get thrown their way, they will find their way into finals. So we're excited, we know the strength we've got, and I think Matty Smith's in a really good place now as well. He's had a year with us, now he's really shaping us into his team, and he can get the best out of us now for this season.
Was it hard after winning at Wembley to maintain the momentum going into the rest of the season, because it is a massive high, obviously making history for the first time?
Yeah, it probably was. Like, you know, we didn't think it at the time, and I think it's hard to realise it at the time when you do have those like dips. But I think not physically, like physically I think the squad held up quite well. It was more sort of mentally and emotionally. You put so much on it, and you like myself included, I put so much pressure on the semi-final and the final, and it was all we spoke about, and it was intense. Training was intense. You've got to be it. We need a big push for 4 or 5 weeks. We've got to make sure we're ready. You know, no regrets when we walk off that field. People can only maintain that level of intensity for so long. There's always naturally going to be a slope off. So we probably did have a little bit of a slope after Wembley, and look, if you'd have offered me what we had at the start of the season, I'd have snapped your hand off. Look, it was upsetting, because I do think we could have got to a final and we could have won it, but it didn't happen. Now we can correct it this year.
I'm being bashed. Final question. Rob Burrow Award for the Men's Grand Final. The Women's Grand Final, Women's Challenge Cup Final, Player of the Match Awards don't have a name attached. Who?
Oh, that's a hard one. You know what's hard is there's so many incredible women that have like come and gone, and there's so many that are still involved in the game in some ways. You know, the names people would know, like Lois Fussell, you know, what she's done in the game, I think is incredible. But while she's head coach of Leeds, you probably maybe can't do that. You know, you've got the likes of Natalie Harrowell that, you know, unfortunately passed, and she, you know, just made her way into the England squad. She was playing at Featherstone Rovers, and right near the top at that time. You know, she's a name that maybe people might not know as well, but, you know, someone who I feel real sadness for when I think about her, and it'd be nice for her to be recognised. Andrea Dobson for me was always just incredible, and is someone that I think doesn't get the recognition she deserves for how incredible she was for a long consistent time, and brilliant captain for England. There's so many names you could throw around. There's Lindsay, what she's doing at York, but again, it'd be hard for her to name the trophy and one of her team be lifting it that year, so we'll see.
Yeah, what, did you call them up, name them all after you?
Oh yeah, I'll have one. No, I don't see that happening, but maybe in a few years, like once some of these girls have retired, I'm sure there'll be a name that gets thrown on that trophy.
Yeah, very excited, mate. I think it can't come around soon enough, and we've got a really tasty tie for supper, news promoter side in London coming down to Totally Wicked, so yeah, it's exciting.
Obviously last year World Club Challenge at this time of year, what's been the difference between the preparations from this year to last?
Well, the weather comes into it for a start. It's a bit colder over here than it is in Manly. But, no, it's obviously we want to be playing in the big games against Penrith, but we've got a different task this year in London and then Huddersfield after that. So it starts pretty tough, I reckon, and we're going to have to be at our best to win both games.
In the trial games you've had so far, do you feel you're progressing to where you'd like to be for that first game?
Yeah, I think we've only had one real hit out as a first team against Salford last week, and we only did 40 minutes, but we had a pretty good first half against them, and put into practice a couple of things we've been working on in the off-season. Obviously, it's not going to be as crisp and as fantastic as we want it to be by October, but hopefully we can hit the ground running and keep building on it week on week.
Obviously, great start to last season, but a disappointing end. How do you build on the end of last season to go into this and regain the title and go to Wembley and win everything you can do?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things we can take from last year, but I also think there's a lot of things we can leave in the past as well. I think with the group we've got now, we've sort of lost the main bulk of players from the four in a row that we did, and we've not got Lachlan Coote, Kevin Nagama, most importantly James Roby and Louis McCarthy-Scarsbrook. They're no longer there. We've sort of got a new group of players now with Daryl Clark, Wonga Blake, Matt Whitley coming in, who are all exciting players, and then a great crop of young lads coming in. So we're sort of trying to rediscover and redefine what we are as a club, make sure the young lads know the purpose of St Helens, and move forward with that.
Everyone talks about culture and so on. What is the St Helens culture? What is being a St Helens player all about?
Well, that's what we're going through at the minute and what we're defining, I think. We value the stuff that other teams don't really value, and We want to push that to the forefront of the team, really, so that everyone values it. As well as that, we just want to win trophies. I think that's the biggest part of the culture. If you're not winning trophies, you're failing. So we, other than the World Cup Challenge at the start of last year, in our eyes, we failed. And we want to make sure that all the people coming through and everyone involved at the club know that. And it's not an easy thing to accept, but it's something that we're going to have to accept and move forward with.
Obviously, team honours are the most important thing, but they've renamed the man of the match at the grand final after Rob Burrow. What does that mean to you, seeing him as a player growing up?
Yeah, it's excellent. I think Rob deserves that. I think the game deserves that name to be highlighted as well as it is. I think obviously he came and presented a shirt for us at England, and just seeing him, it sort of brought a tear to all the players' eyes going into that final test, and it was really important that we got something like that and got to recognise what a career Rob's has, what a person Rob is. And for that to be named after him, I couldn't think of a more fitting man.
We end with the champions and Wigan, if you'd already forgotten. Their coach is Matt Peat.
It's Wigan Rugby League, so I think you often have that feeling of, you know, people love to knock you over, the history of the club, the etc. I think we're always used to teams bringing the best against us, so although I think it's a good strap line, I don't think it's that much different for a club like Wigan. But yeah, it's nice to be champions for sure.
How difficult is it going into a season knowing that within a week of playing your first game you've got this game against Penrith coming up?
It's actually been really good for us as coaches because the players are motivated for round one and round two. And I'm not saying they're not used there, but it's got an extra excitement. Pretty much having a cup final second week of the season, so it's taken a little bit of planning for in terms of giving lads game time in the pre-season fixtures, which we might not normally have done. But yeah, it's brilliant, really. You couldn't wish for a better start to the year than a full house at home.
Part of the injuries, have you got everything out of pre-season you wanted to?
Yeah, I think so. Particularly the whole game at the weekend, it was a although the score looks comfortable now, it was far from it. It was far from it. It was the way the game started, and the physicality that LFC brought was a really good test, and it was good to see us come out the other side of that test.
You won the grand final last year. The wheelchair side won the grand final as well. How important is it that there's this one club ethos at Wigan?
Yeah, it's essential. You know, it's what we want our players to stand for is to be humble, well-mannered, respectful, to promote inclusivity. So to do that, we've got to practice what we preach, and we want the best for everyone who's a member of our club, who's a member of our town. And it's led from the top with Mike, Chris Brooks and Chris Odlinski, and I wouldn't like to coach any other way. I think it's the best way to set an example to the people of town, and it's what we believe.
Obviously, Lee winning the Challenge Cup last year, it was a big year for the whole borough, for you all to back that up again this year.
Yeah, it's really proud to celebrate the borough. We had a visit to the council town hall a few weeks ago, and it does strike home to you how much we've achieved. And credit to Lee, I think they're certainly going to be in the mix for honours again this year, so hopefully the town can enjoy more success, and it can only be good for the borough.
Speaking to Liam Farrell this time last year about how important it is to represent Wigan, I grew up with the club winning everything. How much does that weigh on you, that the Wigan badge, the Wigan history?
It doesn't weigh on us at all. I think if anything, we use it to elevate us and to stand on it and to learn from it, and it probably motivates us to, but also it makes it very real. It makes success is something that's there for you. If you work hard and you support one another, you keep improving, you get your own days in piece of history, and you know that's what we find, and we want more of it.
Winning a Challenge Cup, winning a grand final, and you've got the World Club Challenge coming up, to complete that set.
Yeah, and to just continue improving on and off the field, take the club to break new ground. There's lots we can improve on the field and off the field, and we work today every day in, day out, everyone at the club to see how far we can take this.
Finally, they've renamed the Man of the Match, the Player of the Match award at the Grand Final after Rob Burrow. How important do you think that is as a statement by the sport?
Yeah, it's the perfect honour to Rob. I think everyone who remembers him playing in Grand Finals, he was the most electrifying player on the field every time he stepped onto that Old Trafford. So to rename that trophy in his honour is really fitting. And it's a credit not just to him, but his family, and the way they've conducted themselves, particularly since his diagnosis, is inspirational to everyone inside and outside of this sport.
So that's it. The season is almost here. The very best luck to your team, unless they're playing my team, which, if you're a fan of a team in Super League, it probably isn't going to happen this year. And, you know, let's hope it's another successful year on and indeed off the pitch. We'll be watching all of it now. It's all on the telly and talking about it every Monday from 6, unless something goes wrong, live over on YouTube. And, of course, available to download here afterwards as a podcast. Thank you for your support. See you Monday at 6. Sports Social Podcast Network.